We finished our fish. And the servant came round and took away the plates. When she came to Pratt, she saw that he had not yet touched his food. So she waited, and Pratt noticed her. He quickly began to eat, pushing the pieces of fish into his mouth with rapid movements of his fork. Then, when he had finished, he reached for his glass, and in two short swallows, he poured the wine down his throat and turned immediately to continue his conversation with Louise Schofield. Mike saw it all. I was conscious of him sitting there, very still, looking at his guest. His round, cheerful face seemed to loosen slightly, but he controlled himself and said nothing. Soon the servant came forward with the second course. This was a large joint of roast meat. She placed it on the table in front of Mike, who stood up and cut it very thinly, laying the pieces gently on the plates for her to take to the guests. When everyone had been served, he put down the knife and leaned forward with both hands on the edge of the table. "Now," he said, speaking to all of us, but looking at Richard Pratt. "Now for the claret. I must go and get it, if you'll excuse me."
"Get it," I said. "Where is it?"
"In my study. Already open. It's breathing."
"Why the study?"
"It's the best place in the house for a wine to reach room temperature. Richard helped me to choose it last time he was here."
At the sound of his name, Richard looked round.
"That's right, isn't it?"
Mike said.
"Yes," Pratt answered seriously. "That's right."
"On top of the green cupboard in my study," Mike said.
"That's the place we chose. A good spot in a room with an even temperature.
Excuse me now, will you, while I get it."
The thought of another wine to play with had cheered him up, and he hurried out of the door. He returned a minute later, more slowly, walking softly, holding in both hands a wine basket in which a dark bottle lay with the name out of sight, facing downwards.
"Now," he cried as he came towards the table, "what about this one, Richard? You'll never name this one."
Richard Pratt turned slowly and looked up at Mike. Then his eyes travelled down to the bottle in its small basket. He stuck out his wet lower lip, suddenly proud and ugly.
"You'll never get it," Mike said. "Not in 100 years.
"A claret?"
Richard Pratt said, rather rudely.
"Of course."
"I suppose, then, that not much of this particular claret is produced."
"Perhaps it is, Richard. And perhaps it isn't. But it's a good year.
One of the great years?"
"Yes, I can promise that."
"Then it shouldn't be too difficult,"
Richard Pratt said, speaking slowly,
looking extremely bored.
But to me, there was something strange about his way of speaking. Between the eyes, there was a shadow of something evil, and this gave me a faint sense of discomfort as I watched him.